We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e.
I think it would be great to talk about a couple of documents that have that were posted on the Kingdom of Hawaii info, kingdomofhawaii.info website, and that I actually hadn't fully read. There's the vision and plan, and then there's the Aloha Aina project, which I understand the Aloha Aina project document is actually sort of a part of the vision and plan. Is that correct, Lanny?
That is correct. Jennifer? The vision and plan has sort of the combination of the high-level documents, of
right.
which the Aloha Aina project is one.
Right. Jennifer, have you read both of those documents? All?
I have.
And one of the things that, let's talk about the Aloha Aina, just basically I think the vision and plan, as I was reading through it, it does have a lot of history, and it really goes through in detail. I noticed like the history of the, some of the history of how the islands were, how Hawaii, the Kingdom of Hawaii was taken over, and there's parts of it like that go through some of the history. How about if we talk about the Aloha Aina project? And where did that come from? And is it something that how did this come to pass? Now this is as I understand it, it's several areas that are that the king wants to address as the kingdom comes back online. Who would like to talk about that first? I'm being a good host. I'll give you an opportunity.
I think it should be Lanny because he was working closely with the king through the creation of these documents.
Okay.
And I think that the easiest summary of how they came about is that this is a divinely inspired document that the king has brought forward.
Yes.
As a vision for restoration. And I think it's important to understand that a big part of what he's talking about is restoration. So in these documents, he does talk about what Hawaii was like in ancient times before contact and before Western civilization came and destroyed the Hawaiian civilization. So you had a civilization that was basically an island civilization that was self-reliant, that was had a food system that delivered very nutritious food and abundant food, that had a political system that was designed for sustainability, the whole way it was organized, both geographically and socially and economically, was to maintain the civilization in a high state of health. It had a very comprehensive medicinal system based on the plants available in the islands. On and on it went. It was an incredibly sophisticated civilization that existed prior to contact. And unfortunately, when the Europeans came, all they saw were savages. They had no understanding or interest in understanding the incredibly complex system that had been developed over thousands of years among the island civilizations, including Hawaii. So restoration is a key part of what's being called for here. So to bring back things that were beneficial, like the food, like the economic system, like the social structures that served well the civilization at that time. And in the Aloha Aina project, what he's looking at are the different major areas, agriculture and food,
right.
the whole system of health and wellness, the housing and community development projects, science and technology, how the economy will be organized, how education will be revised,
right,
to make it both practical and substantive for survival. And an important, very important part of the Aloha Aina project, and one that has captured international attention, is the establishment of a peace center and the bringing forth of the conflict resolution techniques that were perfected over hundreds of years in Hawaii, known as Ho'oponopono, and to offer to the rest of the world the services of the kingdom as a non-aligned nation to help resolve conflicts that are taking place in other parts of the world, or to resolve things that could become conflicts. And it's an alternative, yeah, essentially, to the United Nations, which has not been able to serve that purpose, but is a very visionary idea of a peace center in Hawaii to which people would come and from which ambassadors would roam the planet helping to resolve conflicts. So all of that is built into the Aloha Aina project. And anyone can read the full document on the website you mentioned, kingdomofhawaii.info.
Yes. And it's about, I think it's about 30 pages or so, 32 pages. And if I'd like to just briefly, I found seven major areas, and I just like to mention these, and maybe I could get a comment from each of you on things that you might see important within each, not necessarily everyone, but within each area. I found seven. There's the Ahupua'a Project, which is food and agriculture, Ola Pono, health and wellness, Kaulana Kauhale, housing and community, Hoamana Akeakamai, science and technology, Kumu Waiwai, which is economy and resources, Ikeho Project, new vision and education, and the last one in the group is Ho'oponopono, the conflict resolution. And I think that's these areas are very well described and in detail. Jennifer, is there any particular one of these that you perhaps would like to comment on, or perhaps your ideas about what moving forward will be like for the kingdom in these areas?
Well, I think, why this document is so special is because it's not so much reinventing the wheel as it is going back to a system that already worked very, very well before the U.S. government's illegal occupation. So in all the different areas, it is a model, in my mind, for how we really should be organizing our nations all over the world, because it's a way of living amongst each other in a very cooperative, mutually beneficial way, and as well as working with the land and treating the land with the same respect and the same, the same respect and the same love that you would for another human being, because the way that the kingdom is envisioned in those categories is that you work with the land, in Hawaiian culture, the land is actually considered to be a part of the Hawaiian people genealogy. It is where they've come from. They come from the land. They come from the ocean. It's broken down into its simplest form. We all are connected in that way. And these categories actually address these sections of the government in a way where it's people and land working together. Because without the land, the people cannot be. And the Hawaiians understood that. And so for me, it's very special because it's actually taking from the history of what really worked well before and implementing it now in the future at a time when Mother Earth needs it so desperately.
Yes. Well, we've talked from time to time about you being, as Chief Justice. I know we've talked about, occasionally you've shared some of your ideas about, let's look at the Ho'oponopono, the conflict resolution, as how do you see the the system in the Kingdom of Hawaii. For example, if someone is, you know, say causing some trouble or something like that, can you give us an idea of how that might be resolved in the arenas that you might be involved in setting up?
Yeah, I see it as a twofold kind of a process. One being that the laws of the nation should be written in such a fashion as any person living in that nation can look at the laws and understand what rules and what philosophy they're expected to abide by if they want to live in that nation. You should not need to pay an attorney $500 an hour to explain to you what the laws of your nation are. So I believe that the first part of the system is creating an easily understandable system that anybody can say, okay, this is what's expected of me, and this is what I need to be doing to live in this nation under its laws, under the guidance of the leader of the nation. So that would be the first step. And the second step would be, the court systems as they exist today are very commercial in nature. They're all about money, 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 money. Even the crimes have values attached to them, and even the prisons make money off the prisoners being inside of them. So that's a really flawed system in my mind. The justice system should never be about commercialism. It should be about truth and justice. And I envision a legal system here in the islands where if you wronged somebody, the two injured parties or the two parties in question come into the court system and they have their case heard by a jury, and the jury decides, okay, this is what, you know, this person did take money from that person. And the punishment actually fits the crime, because it's never made any sense to me how if someone is accused of wire fraud or stealing or any of that, how anybody has benefited from putting them in a box. I think if you make a mistake, you make an error, you harm somebody, you have to hold up on a point or you make it right. So if a jury decides that, hey, you know, you've taken this money, and you've got to go out, and your punishment is you've got to go out and get a job, and you've got to pay them 20% of your paycheck for X amount of time until that money is reimbursed. Or if you damage their property, you have to go on their property, and you've got to help make it right. You've got to fix it. That is a system, to me, that is truly just. I think really only the most violent of offenders have an actual place inside of a jail cell. Other than that, the jail systems have never made much sense to me. Because it doesn't actually help the harmed party, and it doesn't help the person who did the damage actually help. It doesn't help them make amends or correct their mistakes.
Yes. Well, Lanny, do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, basically, I would say amen. You know, the idea is to develop a system that helps people to correct what they've done wrong. I don't think anybody that knows anything about the prisons in the United States, for example, believes that there's any rehabilitation going on in those prisons. There's nothing but abuse.
Right.
When I've gone into prisons and seen the relationship between the guards and the inmates, it's not a healthy relationship. It's a domination relationship. So anything we can do to keep people out of that situation and find alternative pathways is what we want to do. And there are people already in the islands who have developed a Ho'oponopono diversion program to take people out of the Western justice system and put them into a Ho'oponopono system to try and restore them to their proper place in the society. And that's going to be one of the things that's done. Among the many pieces of the Aloha Aina project, besides the peacemaking one, which I think is probably, well, to me, in terms of consciousness and what we're trying to do, the peace center is the pinnacle. That's the highest goal that we have. What we're trying to do is bring principles of aloha, peace, harmony, unconditional love, respect, tolerance, cooperation, all those things that we know are the best way for people to relate to each other and to relate to the natural world, to work towards that being what we bring to the world and what people understand and learn from and aspire to. So for me, that's the highest value in the whole Aloha Haina project, is the Peace Center and its goals. But at the same time, just practically, the people of Hawaii supported themselves in their island with no imports, and they supported probably 750,000 people in the islands with no imports. Right now, Hawaii imports 95% of the food it eats. And that has not only brought a bad diet to Hawaii, it has made Hawaii dependent on a transportation and delivery system that's extraordinarily vulnerable. If the ships don't arrive, if there's a strike and there's no ships for 3 days, the island runs out of food. Well, we need to get back to the way it was before, where people grew their own food. There was plenty of food. It was shared by everyone. It was healthy food, full of nutrition, not grown in soil that's been totally depleted of any nutritional value by the overuse of fossil fuel-derived fertilizers and things like that. So there's a major restoration component to get back to where we have a self-sustaining, self-reliant civilization in the islands.
Yes. Well, in fact, the...
And if I could...
Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
If I could comment on that, too. It is, when you really think about it, it's absolutely ludicrous that in a nation, and I'm living on the islands now for the last 2 years, I've seen it firsthand, in a nation where everything grows so well, I mean, there's 4 or 5 different ecosystems that exist on these islands. In a nation where you can pretty much grow anything, annuals, perennials, it doesn't matter, they grow here in abundance. And to see the amount of land that is being used by these corporations, Alexander and Baldwin and others, to grow sugarcane and Monsanto and their GMO crops, it is ludicrous, because we have the soil and the conditions here to not only feed the islands 100%, 10 times over, but also to export to other nations, because the food does grow so well here. I mean, avocados can be as large as a human's head. So, and that's all from just the natural conditions. So it should seem ludicrous to anybody that a nation that should grow its own food so well has 95% imports. And I think that was done by design, because of the illegal occupation of the kingdom, as a way to keep the kingdom, subservient to the U.S. government, and to keep the government basically able to pin the nation down and say, you want to mess with us, we'll stop your imports. So it's really, really important that we implement the Aloha Aina Project and that part of that Lani was talking about immediately, because it is so necessary for our future and for the future of these lands, getting the GMO crops and the sugarcane off and helping to heal the soil and growing our own food that we did over 120 years ago.
Well, I know that many people here on the islands do that individually, but it's one of those things that's not very well supported by the, I call it the corporate system that's been put in place over here. I kind of see that one of the things that stood out as I was looking through this document last night was, the emphasis on, for example, on tourism. And I remember people say, well, we've got to, we need to increase tourism, and what is it going to do for the tourist industry? And, oh, we're losing this and we're losing that. I wonder if you could just comment on that particular aspect of it, because I know a lot of people have come here and they love to come here, but it's how does that balance out with when the kingdom, as the kingdom is being restored, how is that going to be worked in with the kingdom system? I mean, I'm sure people have questions like this. I still want to come to Hawaii, they say. I want to come to Hawaii and have a great vacation.
Annie, would you mind if I commented on this, Lani?
Please.
Go ahead.
So, Kiki, and I'm sure that you are aware, the kingdom was always welcoming visitors to the island. That was in the Aloha fashion. Of course, people who want to come and visit have always been welcome in the kingdom. The problem right now is that the islands, the archipelago, are completely reliant on the tourism to survive. And the other aspect of that, the tourism as it exists today is simply not sustainable. And what I mean by that is that, there's we have natural water paths that exist on the island where when the rain comes, it comes down the mountain and it filters the water all throughout the land, and it keeps the land growing and healthy. And what the corporations have done is they've created these water tunnels, or they're like little, they build these basically these drainage systems into the island that is diverting a huge source of our water supply into the hotels. And because of that, parts of the island that should be thriving are dried out and dying. So the tourism, and I was speaking to the king about this a few months ago, the tourism, of course, will always be a part of the islands, but it will not be what we rely on to survive, and it will be in a sustainable nature, a way that, that we can actually have a tourism that does not kill the resources that we have here. It's got to be in a more sustainable fashion.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead, Lanny.
I was just going to say, and what we're looking for is a different kind of tourism. Right now, the hula is a sacred dance, and it's presented at hotels in luaus as entertainment. And the disrespect, the profound disrespect that is shown for the host culture is something most people are simply unaware of. However, it's there on a daily basis. It's very real, and it's very painful for the Hawaiian community to witness. So when tourists come to Hawaii and the local population is there to serve them or to entertain them, and that's the experience that they get of the local community, they're missing what Hawaii is really about. They feel it, absolutely. I mean, we're expecting, once people understand what the restoration is about and the movement that's happening, we're expecting very broad international support because people love Hawaii, particularly anybody that's ever been there. They can feel the mana, they can feel the love, they can feel the aloha. But what they don't see is the true conditions of the people of Hawaii, and particularly the people of Hawaiian ancestry, who have been living under an occupation and oppression for 120, 130 years. That's got to change. So there may be areas where tourists will be asked not to go, where the existing indigenous civilization, if you will be allowed to flourish in its own way without having strangers dropping in to be entertained with luau.
Right. Like the island of Niihau. I don't know the whole story about that, and we won't get into that here, but well, we're reaching about the 50 minute mark, so I think maybe this is a good time to start to wind up this show, and I really appreciate both of you coming on to share your and when you say you share your mana'o.
Mana'o, yes.
And that means
really means not only your thoughts, but it means your heartfelt thoughts.
Yes, yes.
You know, what is it you really feel? Why do you feel that way? You know, share yourself with me, not just, you know, talky.
Well, are there any final, I'll give each of you the opportunity to share any mana'o that you get from your na'au, which is your gut, right? Your solar plexus.
Right.
As a final message, perhaps, to the listeners here. Who'd like to go first?
I just want to do one quick thing with you. You have set up a way that people can make a contribution to help defray the expenses of this movement. Would you please tell people how they can do that? Because it's really important. It's a barefoot campaign, but it's nice to be able to have some shorts on while you're doing it.
Well, there are two ways to do this. One way is by going to the Kawila Pele blog, which if you go to the blog in the upper right, there is a Kingdom of Hawaii shield. Just below the shield, you can click the link which says click here if you would like to kokua, assist the kingdom. The other way, and that will take you directly to the assist us page at the Kingdom of Hawaii info.wordpress.com blog. You can also go to that blog, click the Kokua assist us page, or the little icon on the right which says Kokua, and that will take you directly to a place where you can either contribute money or write down your services that you might want to offer to the kingdom. Thank you. Jennifer, do you have anything to share as a final thought?
It was kind of based on something that Annie had said a little bit earlier about the mana here on the islands and how people love Hawaii. And I think that spirit has basically compelled me to come here because I truly, truly believe, based on what Lanny was saying, that, I mean, people really do love these islands. The energy here is incredible. And I truly feel that the restoration of the kingdom isn't just about the kingdom, because it is, of course, the kingdom. I do believe that because of how special this place is, it's an opportunity for us to really get it right here, to do things a better way, to be an example for the rest of the world, because everyone loves Hawaii. So if we can fix it here, if we can heal what's happened here, if we can repair the damage and repair the decapitated spirits of the Hawaiian people, we can help to heal the rest of the world. That is my thoughts on how important the restoration of the kingdom is.
Yes.
Amen again.
Amen. Lanny, do you have any final thoughts from your viewpoint?
I just hope that people will stay tuned to what's going on. And if people would like to be on our mailing list to receive communications that are issued by the kingdom,
yes,
they can send me an email to Lanny, Lanny.Sinkin, Sinkin, at kingdomofhawaii.info. So it's Lanny.Sinkin at kingdomofhawaii.info, and I will add you to our mailing list for anything that comes out from the kingdom.
Great. Well, mahalo nui for both of you for being on the show today and for sharing your thoughts and your heartfelt opinions, or not opinions, but all the information that you shared. And so with that, we will say for today, we will say aloha and be with light, go with light. And thank you all for listening, everyone out there on the planet. And we will be back again for sure. Say aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, KP.
Thank you, KP.
We the warriors born to live, what the land that she can give, defend our birthright to be free, give our children liberty. Hail, hail, hail.